Radio Prague News. A gathering of the ultra-right National Party at Leti, the site of a wartime camp for Romanis, sparked an incident with Roma rights activists. Finland and Spain have indicated they may open their labour markets to the new EU members before the end of this year. And the Czech military says it is not planning to take its Russian-made transport planes out of operation in the wake of Thursday's plane crash, which killed 42 Slovak soldiers returning from a KFOR mission in Kosovo. A gathering of the ultra-right National Party at Leti, the site of a wartime camp for Romanis, sparked an incident with Roma rights activists. Witnesses say there was a brief skirmish and two Roma rights activists who shouted away with neo-Nazis were detained by the police. One of them was Markus Pape, a well-known Roma rights lawyer. My colleague Linda Mashtalit was at the scene. Linda, what actually happened?
Well, Daniela, when Petra Endelman began her speech, Markus Pape, a Roman rights activist who wanted to engage the National Party members in a dialogue about the importance of Leti to the Roma community, interrupted her and he got too close, so Edelman's bodyguards pushed him away. Pape then approached Edelman again, and at that point he was detained by police because, according to Czech law, he was interrupting an organized gathering.
Thanks for that, Linda. Well, we've heard since that the police say that Mr. Pape committed a misdemeanor when he interrupted the gathering of the National Party. Mr. Pape says he was physically attacked by three members of the party and he will press charges. In other news, Finland and Spain have indicated they may open their labour markets to the new EU members before the end of this year. Germany and Austria, on the other hand, have made it clear they will extend their labour restrictions by another 3 years. The Czech military says it is not planning to take its Russian-made transport planes out of operation in the wake of Thursday's plane crash, which killed 42 Slovak soldiers returning from a KFOR mission in Kosovo. It is not yet clear what made the Slovak military's Russian-made Antonov 24 veer off course and crash in a mountain area close to the border. A Czech military spokesman said that the Czech Air Force discarded its last Antonov 24 last year and the remaining Antonov 26 planes were reliable and well-maintained. Sports now. The Czech women's tennis number one, Nicole Vajdišová, has advanced to the fourth round of the Australian Open after beating Flavia Panetta of Italy. And a quick look at the weather forecast. Sunday is expected to be a cold and overcast day with scattered snow showers and temperatures between -5 and -7 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the English language service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. Now, coming up later in today's programme, Ian Willoughby will be in conversation with Petr Šolrek, the director of the Theatre for the Homeless here in Prague. An interesting conversation there. And also, those of you that are looking forward to brushing up on your Czech language skills, please stay tuned for Pavla Horáková and another ABC of Czech. And this week, she'll be bearing a few fruits with her as well, would you believe? But we're going to kick off as usual with Magazine and Daniela Lazarová, and there's some interesting road signs in the town of Aš.
Most government ministers who manage to take a short break from their work usually go as far as they can get from the inquisitive eye of television cameras, which follow them around for most of the year. However, that's not the case if you happen to be a cabinet minister and film actor to boot. Culture Minister Vyacheslav Jandák will be spending his summer break shooting a movie and getting plenty of publicity around it. The film, which currently has the working title Maharal, is set during World War II and Jandák will play the part of a treasure hunter. Jandák, a 58-year-old Czech film and stage actor, says he had already signed the contract when he was unexpectedly handpicked for the post of culture minister following the death in office of Pavel Dostal. Although few people expected him to make much of an impact, Jandak quickly shot to the top of the popularity ladder as the most credible and trustworthy politician in the Czech Republic. The man himself says the reason is obvious. I talk in a way that people can understand, and I call a spade, he told Czech television recently. The AFP agency, which also spread the word about the minister's upcoming film role, says the role of a treasure hunter is apt, since that is more or less the minister's main task in office. Ever since taking up the post, Jandak has been trying to pump European funds and money from rich countries, such as Norway, to save and restore the Czech Republic's often crumbling cultural heritage. But by the time Jandak gets his teeth into the new role, his party may no longer be in office, in which case he'll be glad to have gone back to his old job again. Organisers of the Prague celebrations marking the 250th anniversary of Mozart's birth have asked chefs to come up with a recipe for a mouth-watering Mozart dessert. The famous composer was known to have a sweet tooth, and a special dessert would give the Mozart celebrations in Prague a nice touch. Not to mention that it would most likely become an instant hit in Prague's many coffee houses and confectioners. So Czech pastry chefs are now racking their brains for something truly exceptional, which would moreover be evocative of Mozart's music. The famous composer visited Prague 3 times and achieved some of his greatest successes in the city. The Czech capital will celebrate the anniversary in big style, with literally hundreds of concerts, opera performances, exhibitions and other events. Needs a reason to have a ball, even when you're divorced. It is now 13 years since Czechs and Slovaks divorced, breaking up their federation into 2 independent countries, but that hasn't stopped them from organising joint events. The first ever Czechoslovak ball is underway as I speak at the Municipal House in Prague. Although it is held under the working title Get Your Tuxedo, Pal, We're in Europe, people are doing more than waltzing around the ballroom. It's a display of everything that Czechs and Slovaks have to offer Europe, from folk dances to opera, from beer to plum brandy, the most popular dishes and the best-looking girls, including the first ever Miss Czechoslovakia, Slovak model Ivana Christola. The Gorilla reality show has finally come to an end, and the winner is 14-year-old Richard, the dominant male in a group of 4 adult gorillas and 1 baby of undetermined sex who took part. Richard received the most SMS votes from viewers who have been watching the gorillas' everyday lives on the internet since November the 7th of last year, when the zoo launched this unique alternative reality show. The idea was to raise money to help save gorillas living in the wild, and the project was an instant success. An average 20,000 internet users visited the site daily. Many others watched a brief summary on morning television, and thousands sent their favourite gorilla votes. Even the Prime Minister, Jiří Paroubek, expressed enthusiasm for the idea, saying the gorilla show was more interesting and certainly more tasteful than the rival reality shows featuring people. The main prize, which Richard is being given on a one-a-day basis, is 12 melons. Any hopes that he might share were dashed on Monday when he tucked in greedily while the others watched from a respectful distance. Good thing he won. He would never have let anyone else eat them in peace anyway, the zoo's director, Petr Fake, told the media. Although the show is over, the internet site will remain active until the end of the month, and people can still contribute to gorillas living in the wild by buying gorilla T-shirts and gorilla toys. They're available at the Czech radio store on Vinohradská 12. Drivers who happen to pass through the western border town of Asch may be surprised to see a road sign they've never come across anywhere else. Actually, there are two versions of the sign on display, one showing a pair of pursed lips and another showing the same lips crossed out. Drivers who were polled when the sign first appeared had plenty of ideas as what it could mean. You're free to kiss in this alley, or no lipstick, please. In actual fact, the sign means prostitutes allowed and prostitutes prohibited, depending on which version you happen to be looking at. Since the local town hall does not have the authority to ban prostitutes as such, it has at least issued a directive stating which parts of town prostitutes are free to conduct their business in. The prostitutes don't like it, but the townspeople approve. The only thing that remains to be seen is whether the new sign will not cause more accidents as drivers hit their brakes to find out what on earth it is they are not meant to do in this part of town.
Thank you very much there to Daniela Lazarová with her magazine, yes, News of the Weird and the Wonderful here in the Czech Republic. Anyway, moving on, just to prove to all of you that studying Czech really does bear fruit, here's Pavla Horáková.
Šel zahradník do zahrady s motykou, vykopal tam rozmarínu velikou, Nebyla to rozmarína, byl to křen, vyhoď ho zahradíčku oknem ven.
Welcome again to our Czech teaching program, introducing Czech idioms featuring various farm crops. Today we look at fruit. The Czech word for fruit is ovoce. The symbolic meaning of the word is the results of a long-time endeavor, such as in the expression
jeho práce přinesla ovoce.
His work bore fruit. Or in the Old Testament phrase, fruit of labor.
Ovoce práce.
Another biblical reference is the forbidden fruit.
Zakázané ovoce.
Although we instantly recognize the idiom as related to the story of Adam and Eve eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge, interestingly, the phrase forbidden fruit does not appear anywhere in the Bible.
Although the forbidden fruit in Eden is usually depicted as an apple, most likely it was an apricot, a pomegranate, or a fig. Fruits in the language have metaphorical meanings based on their form, taste, or texture. A peach-like skin,
pleť jako broskev,
is smooth and healthy-looking, peaches and cream, as people say in English. On the other hand,
hlava jako melón,
a head like a watermelon, is big and swollen. The sour taste is generally considered unpleasant, and therefore sour fruits stand for unpleasant emotions. His face looks like he's just bitten a lemon.
Tváří se, jako by kousl do citrónu.
No explanation is needed. To bite a sour apple,
kousnout do kyselého jablka,
means to gather your courage and face an unpleasant situation. Sour grapes,
kyselé hrozny,
is an internationally recognized idiom, originally coined in a fable. The fox in the fable was not tall enough to reach for the tantalizingly ripe grapes in the vineyard, and so he said they were sour anyway. The expression now stands for the denial of the desirability of something after one has found out that it cannot be reached or acquired. The plums,
švestky,
are a traditional fruit in these parts, and to catch someone gathering plums,
nachytat někoho na švestkách,
means to catch someone in the act of committing something wrong, to catch someone red-handed, just like a little boy who has climbed over the fence to steal the plums in the neighbor's orchard. If we expect something to be short-lived, we can say
to nevydrží do švestek,
literally, it won't last until the plums, meaning it won't last till the end of the summer when the plums are ripe, it won't last too long. But our Czech language series will certainly outlive the plum harvest, because we still have to look at forest fruit and fruit trees in our future lessons. But next week, we'll take a closer look at the most common type of fruit in this region, apples and pears. Till then,
nashledanou.
Thank you very much there to Pavla Horáková, ably assisted by our very own Daniela Lazarová there with the ABC of Czech. Now, time though for another one-on-one here on Radio Prague. And this week, Ian Willoughby is in conversation with the director of the Theatre for the Homeless here in the Czech capital. His name is Petr Šourek.
Ženy! Jsou ženy! Od pasu výše! Od pasu dolů kentauři! Až po pás!
A scene from a performance by the Ježek a Čišek Theatre here in Prague. It's most unusual in that all of its members either are homeless or have spent time on the streets in the past. Its dramaturg or artistic director is Petr Šourek. I caught up with Petr after a show at Prague's No D Club and asked him to tell me a little bit about the history of the Ježek and Čišek Theatre Group.
So it's an existence approximately 5 years. It was like, you know, a hobby of people who sold street paper, Nový Prostor.
Which I should say is a bit like the Big Issue. It's the Czech equivalent, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. And it grew bigger, and so it is now independent from Nový Prostor, and there came through like 200 people, yeah. Some were playing, some just going to rehearsals and in contact with our theatre.
Do you find that people drop out, so to speak, when they have more difficult times in their lives? If they're actually homeless, they're less likely to come at that time.
Yeah, it's very interesting because we have to find the people who are really in trouble, who are not in the real homeless routine. But if you are homeless, most of our actors or clients are people from smaller towns. And the first idea, if you lose your job, if you are actually homeless, if you have a serious family problems, the first idea is to take train to Prague and to look for better living. You know, and these people just drop in a central station, railway station in Prague, and they don't know what to do. These are typical homeless people in Prague. They are just in a big urban area, but they don't know the area actually. So we make a kind of street work. We offer to them, you can come, you can make rehearsal. And for us, are especially interesting people who are not homeless for years, who are homeless for, let's say, a month.
You think it's more possible to save them, so to speak?
Yeah, to help them at least, because we are no kind of charity. We have no one aim or one end for our homeless people. So we just ask these people, we help them to find their own solutions of their own problems.
I know a couple of them at least have had problems in the past with alcohol. Does it make it harder to organize them, so to speak?
Alcohol is a big problem, but there are drugs as well and other problems. We have just one rule. If you drink, you can't play.
I was a bit shocked after I saw the theatre group a couple of months ago to learn that one of the members had AIDS. I presume the other members are okay about that? It's not an issue within the group?
I think people on the street are... probably have a lot of prejudices, but the street learn you very, very fast, a bit tolerance. So I don't think that there's big issue inside of the group.
How many of them can really act? Or how many of them are just enthusiastic and keen to do something?
Really act. So they have no actor training. So they can't act in the theater, in the state theater or something like this. But at the same time, they can play, and we make them play, not to act.
What's the difference?
I think to be a little bit more playful than because acting is like a more serious job, and playing is without limits.
I visited the theater's rehearsal space. In a kind of basement in Žižkov. You don't have a permanent theatre. What kind of places do you actually play in?
We play in different clubs or different festivals, sometimes even on the street. Yeah, we can find a lot of places we can play.
And you were telling me earlier you played at some train station?
Yeah, we play on the train station as well, but it's quite difficult with the railway company to arrange.
They don't like the idea.
I think that if you say we are here for homeless people, many people say, oh, it could bring problems, you know. We do understand it, but we don't want it.
Just to digress for a second, what would you say in general is the attitude of Czech people towards homelessness? Because in this country it's a relatively new phenomenon, I think you could say.
On the one hand, it's like a new word for them. There was no jobless or homeless people, but really there were. But officially there were no such people. So they have to get used to them. On the other hand, I think that some people really can't understand how fast is the way from their apartment to the street.
From your experience of homeless people here in Prague, do you know if they often encounter trouble or violence or any kind of abuse from other people?
I think it's a Czech song that it's dress what makes people. So it depends on dress. If you are well-dressed, and I think most of our actors are actually something like the top or the best or top class of homeless, yeah, they are not well-dressed, but they are acceptably good dressed, so I think they can't meet this kind of violence. But if they are badly dressed, so if they even smell badly or something like this, people, of course, have a distance to them.
When you say that your clients are the top class of homeless, what do you mean by that?
It's about this routine. If you are in the homeless routine, it's like you are not trying anymore. You probably drink more. Our clients our actors are trying, are playing, so they are not like hopeless cases.
What do you hope, or what do you want them to get from the experience of being a member of the Ježek and Čišek Theatre?
I think the first is that they are members of groups which accept them as they are, not as they should be or as they would be, as they are. The second is that they learn that they can something, and that they probably should little bit play or act if they look for jobs. So I think it's very good training for job interviews.
Would you say it gives them confidence?
Yeah, exactly. Confidence is actually something what Czechs are generally missing, and homeless people the more than the others.
Petr Šurek, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And come to our shows.
Ian Willoughby was speaking to Petr Šurek, the director of the Theatre for the Homeless here in Prague. And please, if you have any comments about our programmes, or indeed just about life here in the Czech Republic, please do write to us. The address, the email address, first of all, is english@radio.cz, english@radio.cz. And also we have a snail mail address. It is Radio Prague 12099, Prague to the Czech Republic. Once again, Radio Prague 12099, Prague to the Czech Republic. And also do check out the website www.radio.cz/English, and there's some rather shocking photos of Radio Prague presenters on there as well, so be careful. Anyway, from me, Peter Smith, until next time, bye-bye.